Okay, the drone age. It's quite the paradox we're seeing, isn't it?
It really is.
You've got this like quiet hum, a drone delivering what, 75% of Rwanda's blood supply, saving lives, saving millions, cutting delivery times by over 60%. Amazing.
And then, completely different. You hear that aggressive buzz over Ukraine. These, well, relatively low-cost devices, now linked to maybe 80% of casualties, it's rewriting conflict.
Yeah, a really stark contrast. And it's not niche tech anymore, right? This market for UAVs is just skyrocketing.
Absolutely. From $73 billion this year, projected over $163 billion by 2030, it's huge.
So today we're doing a deep dive. We want to unpack these big transformations, the tech itself, the global rules or lack thereof, the human side, warfare, the economy, all of it.
There's a lot to cover.
Let's start with the tech then. What's really under the hood here? What are the breakthroughs making this drone age happen right now?
I'd say two things are really key: true autonomy and the power revolution.
Okay, autonomy first. What does true autonomy mean in this context?
It's about resilient autonomy, often driven by AI. So take KraitWorks' Ghost Dragon drone. It can actually navigate precisely without GPS. It uses optical navigation.
Wow, no GPS.
Right. And that's proving decisive in places like Ukraine, especially against electronic jamming.
So conventional jamming, it's becoming less effective, or are countermeasures already appearing?
Oh, it's definitely a cat and mouse game, a rapid escalation. But for now, that optical navigation is a serious advantage. And then there's the second piece, the power revolution.
Breaking endurance limits, you said. How much difference does that make?
It's a game changer. Think hydrogen fuel cells. They offer maybe 4 or 5 times the energy density of standard batteries.
5 times.
Yeah. So a drone like the Doosan DS-30, it can fly for 2 hours carrying a 5-kilo payload. That means it goes from just a short-range tactical tool to a strategic platform. Regional deliveries, huge search and rescue areas, entirely new possibilities.
Okay, so the tech is racing ahead, which brings up the obvious, urgent question: governance. How are we supposed to manage these things? You said the global rule book looks fractured.
That's putting it mildly. It really is fractured.
Yeah.
Look at the US, they have remote ID, like a digital license plate.
Mm.
But they explicitly sidestep regulating privacy. It creates this, well, they call it a compliance labyrinth.
A labyrinth. Sounds messy.
It can be. Then you look at China, total opposite. Complete state control, mandatory real name registration for all drones, strict altitude limits, heavy fines if you step out of line.
And the EU.
The EU is trying a more nuanced, risk-based approach. They're integrating GDPR privacy rules, and they're kind of hoping for a Brussels effect.
The Brussels effects meaning.
Meaning their high standards become the global standard just because the EU market is so important. Companies comply to get access.
Interesting. That US compliance labyrinth, though, compared to the EU, are there real-world headaches from that fragmentation for operators or even safety?
Definitely creates hurdles, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for international companies trying to operate across borders. Regulatory headaches galore. But beyond rules, there's the human side.
Exactly what I was thinking. Privacy, right. It feels like it's constantly under threat.
It really does. There's a case in Michigan, Long Lake Township v. Maxon. It could potentially create a sort of legal privacy bubble over private property, specifically against drone surveillance. Might redefine the Fourth Amendment.
A privacy bubble. That's critical, especially when you hear figures like the NYPD using drones 193 times in just the first half of 2023.
193 times, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just one city. Then there's the ethical minefield of Long W's lethal autonomous weapon systems.
Right, the responsibility vacuum.
Precisely. You have 166 UN nations voting for regulation, but key military powers, they're resisting a binding treaty. It's a major standoff.
Such complex issues, but you have to balance that against the good they can do, like zipline in Rwanda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The social good is undeniable.
Though some might argue, okay, zipline is great, but are the new, better jobs replacing the old ones one for one? And is the public really okay with drones given all the privacy stuff? How do you square that?
It's definitely a balance. It requires proactive workforce development, retraining, and demonstrating clear, tangible benefits. Zipline works because it solves an urgent, visible problem that builds acceptance. And yes, new, often higher skill jobs do emerge around these systems.
Okay, let's shift to the battlefield. Ukraine. You said it's a new era.
Completely. The scale is unprecedented.
Sure.
Millions of drones. And these cheap FPV drones, first-person view, often costing just $200 to $1,000, They've become the, well, the infantry of drone warfare.
Infantry. And responsible for up to 80% of casualties.
That's the figure being reported. Yes, up to 80%. It creates this terrible cost asymmetry, too. You mentioned it shooting down a $500 drone with a $100,000 missile.
Just unsustainable. This must be shifting global power dynamics, this drone diplomacy.
Big time. Look at Turkey. They now have something like 65% of the military drone export market, largely thanks to the Bayraktar TB2, which costs around $5 million.
Compared to the U.S.?
U.S. systems might be $20 million plus, and their market share is down around 8%. So yeah, it reshuffles who has that kind of military tech influence.
Okay, finally, the economy. It's not just flying taxis, right? Although that Joby Aviation plan, Manhattan to JFK in 7 minutes, sounds nice.
Huh. Yeah, that gets headlines.
Yeah.
But the real value right now, the workhorse stuff, is maybe less glamorous, but more impactful immediately. Industrial inspection, for instance.
How much impact?
Well, inspecting a bridge might cost, say, $700 to $200 traditionally, with a drone. Maybe $700 to $770. That's a clear ROI.
Yeah.
And that inspection market alone, projected over $38 billion by 2030.
$38 billion just for inspections. Yet, despite that, we hear about a drone winter. Investment funding dropped sharply.
Yeah, down 73% between 2022 and 2024. There was perhaps some hype, some consolidation needed, but the underlying value is still there.
So what really stands out here is it feels like the technology is just sprinting ahead, and our ability to manage it, to govern it wisely, is lagging way behind.
That's the core tension, absolutely. The tech outpaces governance.
So thinking about you, the listener, the choices we collectively make right now seem crucial. Nuanced rules, international cooperation, training people for these new jobs. It feels like that will decide where this all goes.
Exactly. Will this massive $163 billion industry end up boosting human capability, improving lives?
Yeah.
Or will it just become another tool for inequality and conflict? That really is the fundamental question we're facing.